In my practice, I'm quite interested in objects as a sculptor and our relationship to objects, how objects sometimes get collected and used or abused, discarded. Sometimes that decision is whether that object is useful, whether it's not useful, whether it's broken, whether it's had a memory attached to it, whether it belonged to someone who has a story attached to that object. And I've worked with objects for about 20 years, and a lot of the objects I choose actually come from either war or sport or a domestic situation. Mainly because I'm interested in how human beings live and interact with each other, and when I use those particular objects, they somehow become anthropomorphized. I have started to join parts of the body with objects. Someone was, I think Michelle was talking about how people's brains like to put things together that have memory. Well, my brain likes to put things that are disjunctive together. It's kind of a very, very difficult thing when I'm trying to remember something of a personal nature, whether I've travelled somewhere. They're all kind of mixed up together. But it's very good for making interesting objects because it tends to very quickly join things that are unexpected together. That's what I enjoy making. I've been made these series of cricket balls. I did a series of tennis racket things first, and then some crutches and some chairs. So cricket balls, I kind of had a whole bunch of them collected, and I was thinking about what to do with them. I took them apart. The inside of a cricket ball is quite interesting. There's a lot of making in a cricket ball. And I also looked at the terminology of cricket, and there's really lovely names associated with how the ball travels down the cricket pitch. And so there's this Australian word called mullygrubber, and a mullygrubber is when the ball, you know, travels along the ground but doesn't bounce very much. So in my mind, that suggests it collects a lot of grass as it goes along down the pitch. And this one is called cherry that you just tilled. So cherry, I kind of thought was a nice name for that one because it's, you know, it's a fruit, it's a sweetness, and it's also a girl's name, you know, and it's kind of the stain that gets marked on your cricket clothes if you rub the ball. And this is a cherry. When I was looking at the terminology, that just brought forward to me that I had to join it with a breast. And it was just, you know, it's just one of those. Well, you artists will all go, yes. It's one of those moments.
You know, we've been talking about other work which kind of happens in the studio. You're talking about, I've got these cricket balls, this is how I get. These are the terms in terms of bowling, this is what I'm going to make. And you kind of force this.
Most of my works are like that. They start conceptually, and then I work with the materials that's required for the concept. But it's based in objects and the human interaction with the object. So I'm working with a lot of human casting as well at the moment. So this is, it was fortunate because I haven't had plastic surgery, so my boobs are kind of the perfect size for a cricket ball. So this is my breast that you've all had in my hand. I kind of like that also. I've also made casts of my lips and ears and different parts of my body. I made a musical instrument that was 3 meters long, and it had a cast of my lips so that you had to kiss my lips to blow the instrument. I kind of like this push-me-pull-you reaction that people have to my work, and I'm trying to provoke that a little bit. So yes, it is my breast, and how I made it was I cast my body using a prosthetic gel, and it gives you all that detail of the body. And then I make a solid one, so solid in resin, so rubber, and then into resin. And then I wet moulded it out of leather, so I soaked the leather for a while and then moulded it on top, waited for it to dry, and then dyed it, and then punched all the holes in it and stitched it. So it is a handmade cricket ball from my body.
Each one?
Yes,
each one.
These ones obviously in wax, you know, first, and then cast in bronze. Mm. So like that kind of that unexpectedness of a bronze cricket ball, and it would certainly do you some damage in the cricket pitch. Yeah.
Who's game to ask an easy question?
What is inside?
It varies a lot. The older cricket balls were actually made with cork, from the tree, and then it's wound with a lot of string, which gives it the spring when it bounces. So yeah, there's layers and layers of string inside a cricket ball, and then it is stitched together in a cross fashion. Yeah, it's quite interesting. The inside, yeah. And now I'm taking apart more things because I'm getting more interested in the inside as well as the whole object. Putting the inside on the outside.
Excellent. Mm. So I just need to make the point before moving on from Anita that in many instances we were talking about the kind of fluidity of the, you know, the process, the studio, the idea, the hands, the making, the materials running along, and you know, you're trying to capture whatever that materiality is suggesting. But Anita's working from a strong conceptual base, this is the idea, and then goes out in a very determined and deliberate and complex and skilled way in terms of achieving that. And presumably you work and work and work until you get.
Yeah, I do. And there's a lot of thought that goes into the process before I start. And also in the making as well. Is this the right object? Is this the right material? Is, you know.
Well done. Yeah, great work.